What are the requirements for a minister to be ordained of God? That's our topic for today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing upon this sacred declaration of thy holy word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's continue with the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter. The disciples, the 12 apostles, were sent out for the first time under the power of the Spirit of God. The text is, "And he, that is Jesus, called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them." As I said last week, the main qualification that Jesus is looking for in a servant of God is not doctrinal knowledge or theological expertise or a general great knowledge of the scriptures as a whole, but that qualification is that man who was ordained of Jesus must have been with him. Now, these 12 apostles had been with Jesus for about 1 year by now, and that means they had been with him 24 hours a day, or nearly so, for that period of time. They didn't go anywhere except where Jesus wanted them to go. They didn't do anything but what Jesus wanted them to do. They were with him all the time. When you go only where Jesus wants you to go and do only what Jesus wants you to do, then you are with Jesus. I'm not going to say we don't need seminaries or Bible colleges, but I tell you, you can put a man through these institutions of learning, and that itself alone will not equip him to ever be ordained of Jesus. Now, he may be ordained by his congregation, by his denomination, or by some religious organization, and he may be placed in a pulpit, and he may be placed in a mission field. But, my friend, it is one thing to be ordained by man and man's institutions. It is another thing to be ordained and sent by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It normally does not take you very long before you can detect whether a man, when he steps into a pulpit and opens his mouth, whether he was ordained by man only, or whether he was ordained by God and sent by Jesus, only having the church affirm that divine ordination in their ordination service, saying, "Yes, we agree, Lord Jesus, this man surely is sent of you, and we will acknowledge it by confirming that ordination through our ordination service." So the great need, I believe, today with pastors, missionaries, etc., is that they must have been with Jesus and be with Jesus and remain with Jesus. Once again, let me say that being with Jesus means being with him 24 hours a day in his fellowship, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means a life commitment to take every step with the Lord Jesus and none without him. Oh, would you pray with me that the Lord would open the eyes of the clergy to see that this is the most important thing we can possibly get into the heart of a preacher of the gospel, the necessity to be with Jesus, to remain with Jesus. Every day a minister ought to have a good time of prayer and waiting upon the Lord and spending time with the Word and letting the Holy Spirit open the Word to him as he did through Jesus for the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now then, let us go on to the second qualification that Jesus was looking for in these 12 apostles. He taught them, saying that they should take nothing for the journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with the sandals and not put on two coats. That means that the minister of the Lord should live by faith. He should learn to trust the Lord for everything. Going out on a journey from village to village day after day, or for several weeks, requires trusting, really trusting the Lord. I want to tell you, when Jesus tells you to go without money, you can count on it that Jesus will provide what you need when you need it. Isn't it wonderful that these men didn't have to carry luggage that would impede their movements, their mobility, and burden them down? All they had to do was take a staff. It says, and no shoes, but sandals. Sandals is a sole that is tied to the foot. That is getting down to the bottom, isn't it? Now, this means a minister should never ask for money for a salary. He should trust the Lord. If he sent him, Jesus, he will make a way. He will touch people's hearts. So as they would go to places with the word of the Lord, there would be places where people would receive them gladly, and they, that is these people then, would become the instruments through whom God would supply their needs. Now consider what would happen to those who would not receive the gospel or would not receive the messengers, the apostles. It says, Jesus speaking, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Oh, my friend, when somebody comes to you in the name of Jesus, they don't have to be a Baptist as you may be. They don't have to be a Lutheran or a Catholic as you may be. They don't have to be a Methodist if that's what you are. If they come to you in the name of Jesus, you better listen to their message and receive it from them, and you will be blessed. And then Jesus continues saying, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city. Amazing. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, what happened to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah because they would not receive the word of his messenger? Why, you heard about cremation. Cremation is a common practice to dispose of a dead body. But this is something else. This is burning a body while it is still living. This is what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. The people would not receive the word of God, and they were burned, that is, cremated alive. Oh, my friend, when God sends a messenger to you, better listen and receive him and obey the word of the Lord. Now, Jesus says when the judgment day comes, it's going to be worse than being burned alive for those who have not received the messenger that Jesus sent to their door. So, take note of this. And next time, you better open the door and welcome that servant of the Lord. Finally, observe, we all know that the apostles then, as they finished their mission, they came back and they reported to Jesus what happened to them on their first time out, anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. Because in verse 30 in this text it says, and the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. What a session that must have been when these 12 came back and everyone was trying to tell Jesus something about what happened as they went from village to village. Now, for us to get any of these reports, we have to wait till we get to heaven, and then we can ask these apostles, what all did you do on this first journey out? But we do have a report in the Gospel of Luke when 70 disciples were sent out with an almost identical mission. They were sent out again without money, without scrip, without shoes, and they were told to go from village to village and preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out devils. Now, we do have a record what happened when they returned. Let's look what they said. It's in Luke chapter 10. It says, and the 70 returned with joy. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Great things happened, marvelous things happened while they were going from village to village, so they came back with joy. Now, let me ask you, what was their joy about? And this verse says, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That's what they were happy about, because they were able to cast out devils. They had the power Oh, they were thrilled about that. I've met a lot of people in my life who were thrilled about the power. And they talk about, oh, you need to get this anointing. You need to get this power. Most everyone needs to get the power, they think. They all want to run on power. But notice what Jesus said to this exuberance of his returned disciples. He says in verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I have given unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In other words, Jesus said, all right, you're excited about this power. You have it over the demons, and you think you really have something to be thrilled about. Then observe Jesus' further comment. He says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So Jesus said, don't be happy. Don't be happy about having power over demons or the devil's forces. Don't be happy about power, being able to overcome the enemy. I don't want you to be happy about this. There's only one thing I want you to be happy about, and that is that your names are written in heaven. Now, I'll tell you something, my friend. When you meet a Christian who's all excited about having power over this and power over that, be disappointed, because Jesus is disappointed. But when you meet a Christian who, although he has this power, does not talk about it, when you meet a Christian who is happy, happy, happy that his name is written in the book of life, that Jesus died for him, that Jesus shed his blood for him, that Jesus rose for him, and Jesus is praying for him, that Jesus is dwelling in his heart, if he's happy about that, then he's happy about the right thing. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, as he broke the bread, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul also refers to the Lord's Supper, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. Let me ask you, is it possible that way back there Jesus knew the day would come when Christians all over the world would be happy about power to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and would be happy about what they accomplish in missions programs and about church growth and Sunday schools and seminars and conferences and buildings and all that, and forget about him, not remembering him, not rejoicing over him? Oh, my friend, that their names were written in the book of life. So, summing it up, my friend, we can see two important things about ministers, what ministers ought to have, ought to exemplify. And the one is that they ought to have been with Jesus, and they ought to be and remain with Jesus. If they don't have that, they're not worth a whole lot. And secondly, what's important about ministers, they stop bragging and talking about power, and they start getting happy about the fact that their names are written in the book of life, and that Jesus himself, the Christ, remains the center of everything they're doing and thinking. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This program will come to you again next week at the same time over the same station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now until then.